Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And we're here this week to do another Voltron fan artist spotlight. What do you say, Greg? Can you join me for that?
I am so thrilled to be here to talk with another talented Voltron fan artist. One of the things that has continually amazed me about the fandom surrounding Voltron, and specifically Voltron Legendary Defender, is the enormous creativity that we've seen from so many fans. And it's so cool to be able to chat with one of them here today.
Yeah, you remember we did our first one. It was with Chitoy.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
And she did a very special drawing for us.
Mm-hmm, the five faces of Voltron. It was really cool.
That's right. And we put it up on our Facebook, and we put it up on our Twitter, and I even have it as my phone background.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
But we are going to get another Voltron fan artist exclusive here on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
That is exciting.
Yes, so we are excited to be able to introduce that today.
Awesome.
Okay, so why don't we bring in our Voltron fan artist?
Let's do it.
We want to introduce Mel, also known as That Mako Girl. Welcome, Mel.
Hey, yo, what's up?
How you doing?
Groovy.
All right.
It is awesome to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Very glad to be here and still nervous.
There's nothing to be nervous about. We're all friends in Voltron here, so you're in good company.
Yeah, we're all fellow Voltron fans here, so we all have a love for Voltron, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we want to thank you for responding to our request for Voltron Fan Artist Spotlight participants.
Thank you for getting in contact with me.
This is something that's really cool. You have a unique style that's kind of different from most people out there. You say on your DeviantArt site that your favorite style is traditional. Is that true?
It's changed. It's mostly digital now.
It's mostly digital now.
Yeah.
Ah.
So how did you make that transition?
Yeah. It just happened one day doing comic work. And I just figured, hey, doing digital is a lot easier. So I did that.
So how did you first learn about digital art?
I guess it was always around me, but I never really plunged into it. Again, it just happened.
What did you start using?
With digital?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I was using a mouse and Photoshop. So there was a lot of click, 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 click. Every time I wanted to do something, draw a line. It was very noisy. But wow. I've got a tablet now, so there's no noise.
What are you using now?
A tablet.
Oh, okay.
Like a Wacom?
Yeah, it's X-Pen. That's what it is.
You know, I have a Wacom tablet from more years ago than I care to mention. And I've dabbled with it here and there. But I've always found this disconnect. And maybe the newer ones are just better. I think mine is over a decade old. Anyway, there's a different sense of tactile feedback between using a pencil or pen on paper and a stylus on a tablet. Did you find that to be kind of a weird transition, or did it just feel natural to you?
It was pretty natural.
Wow. Okay. Maybe I ought to get a new tablet.
So do you still do some traditional style art, though?
Yeah, I do. Mostly sketches, but not as frequent as I used to.
So if you're doing a digital style art compared to a traditional style art, what's the difference in time it takes you to complete something?
Really, it's about the same. Since before, when I was using traditional, when I was using pencil and paper, I would ink it and then erase the lines and scan it in and color it digitally.
Ah.
So I guess it would be about the same time.
Okay.
When you scan a traditional piece, you're basically working with bitmapped art, right? Or do you convert it into some kind of vector art first? Or how do you typically do that when you're going from paper to digital?
No, it's bitmap.
Okay.
All right, so let's go back a little bit here. And let's say, where did you get your first start in art? And when did you know that this was something you'd want to continue doing?
First start is in terms of professionally or just in general?
When did it really become something that you knew you wanted to keep doing?
When I first got my Sega Genesis bundled with Sonic 2. And I started doing a lot of Sonic art. And I really love Sonic, so I just started drawing all sorts of pictures of him and all the other characters. And I just decided I'm going to work for Sega, and I'm going to do comics for Sonic. And yeah, that's basically what it was.
Wow, how cool.
Do you still have that Sega?
I have a lot of old Sonic drawings, I'm embarrassed to say.
Do you have the game, I mean, the gaming system?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm a nerd. I still have it.
All right, but what gaming system is your favorite now?
I guess the PSP.
Oh, PSP, really?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite game on the PSP?
P3P, Persona 3 Portable.
Oh, okay. I don't know that game.
It's an RPG. Oh, the Dreamcast is another winner.
Oh,
great.
Dreamcast, yes.
Okay.
Now, can you play Pac-Man on one of these systems? That's what I want to know.
You could, yeah.
All right. I am so there.
Oh, boy.
So what are your favorite kinds of games? Do you prefer role-playing kind of games or first-person shooter? Or
my favorite type, I suppose, are rhythm, music, even though I don't have any rhythm. I just, I like the music. And RPGs, yeah, I used to play those a ton back in the day. Now, more recently, it's fighters and card games. I'll play just about anything unless it's a sports game.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting a wrestling game, though, because I'll play that.
Now, you talked about Sonic being an inspiration for you going pro as an artist. Are there any games that inspire you today?
A ton of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, Shadowverse, something I started playing not too long ago. And the Pokemon online card game.
Okay.
And Yu-Gi-Oh. Ah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
And you've done art for all of these?
Yes.
Wow.
Fan art, yes.
Wow. So you're drawing all the time?
Basically, yeah. It's my living. It's what I do.
All right. Then how did you make that original fan art of Sonic and then turn it into like a real job? How did you manage that?
I went to a couple of comic cons when I was a little kid. I was really bent on working for Sega, but it didn't work out. From that, I just started drawing other things, other franchises, and put it up all over the place. And for many, many years, I was squeezing water out of a rock. And then finally, someone just contacted me and said, "Hey, would you do this comic for me?" I thought they were joking at first.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no way someone would ask me to do that, but it turned out it was legit, and I'm still working for this person.
Wow.
Their comic, yeah.
And what comic is that?
It's an indie comic. I don't know if I should say the name.
Oh.
Or not.
All right, so you're still doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of stuff. You might have seen it on my Tumblr, possibly this animation that I did for the Whitesnake Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're not only doing art, but you're doing animation as well.
Yeah, though now I'm doing animations purely for myself and to build upon my skill.
Have you heard from other comic book artists and stuff like that about just how, you know, hard it is to break into the comic book industry?
Not particularly, now that I think about it. I've talked to mainly two in person.
Mm-hmm.
That was Harvo and Ken Penders for Sonic Archie Comics.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But basically what Ken Penders said to me was to draw everything. And I didn't understand what that meant at the time, but now I do. And boy, I really should have done that instead of just drawing Sonic all the time.
Show some range in content and styles and things of that sort.
Yeah.
If you had to draw something new today, from any franchise, what would you jump into?
Shiro with Keith.
Ah, okay.
That kind of leads us to Voltron, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does, yeah.
It does lead us to Voltron.
Those names do ring a bell, yeah.
I know I've already seen a lot of your Voltron art out there. How did you get into Voltron in the first place?
Oh, my goodness. I told this story in the voice meme. Well, a friend of mine who went to a con today and bought all the electronic lions and showed me a picture.
Mm-hmm.
he is the one who told me that there is a new Voltron series coming out. And me, the last Voltron I saw was the 3D one. And
okay.
Yeah, I never got too far. I remember there being a lot of slowdown in the CG when they fought. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't too particularly interested in the name. I'm not one for giant robots, but I do have exceptions, of course. Voltron being a huge one. Mm-hmm. But he pretty much said, oh, did you see? Allura looks really awesome in her new outfit. And she looks different. I'm like, who? So he showed me a picture of everyone at the end of episode one, where they're all grouped together. And yeah. I looked around the cast, and my attention lingered the most on Shiro and Keith. They just looked really dynamic in their design. I gave him my opinion, basically, that we should watch it right away.
And so you did.
How long did it take you to get through season one?
Not too long. Pretty much whizzed through it. Same with season two.
Wow.
So I assume you're looking forward to season three.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. Bring it on.
So when we had Chitoy on, she had done a special thing for our podcast. And she had done the Faces of Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
So the five Faces of Voltron. All the different Voltrons from all the different versions of Voltron. And we put that up on our website, and it's been there pretty much ever since.
And we love it. Thank you, Genchi Toy.
Except we have a little stint here where we put up the Puzzle and Dragons thing. Did you hear about that?
Yep, I downloaded it today. Thanks, Allura.
What'd you think of it?
Oh, I didn't get to actually play it. It was a lot of downloading and installing, but the art looks really cute.
I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to want to try it. And from what I've heard, Voltron, the robot Voltron, actually does, you know, kick a little bit of butt in it.
Cool.
That's what I've heard, that it's a pretty powerful character to have.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've heard. So the Puzzle and Dragons, they're calling it a collaboration. It's basically a mashup between Puzzle and Dragons and Voltron. That kind of stuff was on our Twitter and our Facebook for a little bit. And now your stuff is going to be on because you did something special for us.
Yes. Excited.
This is the main group. So we've got Shiro, we've got Lance, we've got Allura, Pidge, Hunk, Keith, Karan, and Kaltenecker in the top.
Yes. And Ulaz.
Yes, Ulaz.
Yes, hanging off of Shiro's belt pouch there.
Yeah, I don't know. How did Ulaz become so miniature?
I just wanted to add him in there and made him kind of like a keychain for Shiro to carry around.
I love it.
Okay, is that in memory of Ulaz for his sacrifice that he made for the team?
Partially, yes.
Okay.
I like it.
There's also a lot of different colored confetti here.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the confetti for?
Celebration.
All right. Cool. So what are we celebrating?
Having the art up.
Okay.
I would celebrate that.
To draw it, which was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. I love the line art. I love the composition. The poses of the characters are just cute as all get out. The colors, the gradient background, the little bubbles that have Kaltenecker and Karan in them. It's just really, really slick. So thank you so much. That's awesome.
There's even a little bit of dabbing going on here.
Yeah, that just came to me. I was thinking of what I could do for the little chibis compared to the other one. And that just came to mind. And of course, I acted out all these poses, so I would understand how to draw them.
That's so, yes, nice.
I dabbed in the kitchen.
In order to figure out how to draw it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an artist thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, seriously. Yeah, I think that photo references make a lot of... Did you take photos of yourself to use as references when you did these poses? Or...
No.
Okay.
I just did the poses.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they look legit.
Cool.
All right, so here's another question I have. Is it part of the style that the hands only show like basically a thumb and a hand and no fingers?
Yeah, it's part of the style.
Okay. All right.
I just like doing the mitts that way for the chibis.
Right.
I dig it. It's just neat. I mean, if it were just Kaltenecker, it would be just totally cool. But you've got everybody on there. I mean, even characters who aren't cows. And it's just cute. It's happy. It's fun. It's a celebration of Voltron, which is what we try to do with each episode of this podcast and what guests like yourself very much help us to do. So
it reminds me of what the voice artists do when they come to see the fans. Okay, because they're happy to see the fans. The fans are happy to see them. It's a big celebration of getting together with the people who make the show and the fans who love the show.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this really literally shows is that, you know, they're happy to be part of a show that all these people really love.
Yeah.
And I think these characters are happy to celebrate Voltron for the fans.
Hey, that could be it. It should be celebration of Voltron.
That'll
work. There you go. That works.
If I had to pick my favorite part of this image, it would have to be Allura's eyes. There's something about them that jumps out, and there's a life there, all their own.
It's a quintessence.
Ah, there we go.
Quintessence.
Very nice.
There is quintessence built right into this piece of art.
Aww.
Yeah, this is cute. So cool.
Yeah, and it's that perfect color, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's that one we've talked about so many times on the podcast.
Yeah, that almost undescribable bluish, not quite cyan, not quite.
Yeah. You
know, what is that? Yeah.
How do you get that color from what you were working with? How did you get to that color?
I was looking at an official picture of her, and it's always difficult for me to pinpoint exactly what color her eyes are. So I just went with turquoise, a little more on the green side, slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just came out with that.
Wow, that's cool.
The overall composition is amazing, but there's just something about Allura's eyes and her being near the center of the image there really makes her pop. And it's the whole thing is great, though. I love all the characters.
Okay, so this has automatically become our number one favorite piece of art.
It's very cool, and this is just phenomenal. Could we go back just a bit and talk about animation?
Oh, sure.
You've done a great deal of static art over the years, and then mm-hmm. you made this leap into animation. What kind of a mind shift is there going from a static image to something that just represents a snapshot in time in combination with other snapshots that make the whole thing move? I mean,
for me, it's pretty natural that I found out, but it depends on what kind of animation you're going for. If you're going for something like puppetry, you don't really think all that much about dynamic movement. But if you're doing it frame by hand, then, yeah, that's pretty much like a huge change.
Wow. And so have you done your animations strictly digitally, or did you begin that in a more traditional way?
Digitally.
Okay.
So I initially used a program I shouldn't have. It was a program for drawing and not for animation, so there was no timeline.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you use a bunch of transparencies on different layers to?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
A million layers, yeah.
So what program are you using now?
Now I'm using Flash, looking for something else.
You mean because Flash might not be supported for much longer?
Oh, no. I just wanted to find something else.
Okay.
Though I know it's industry standard, so it's required. Yeah.
What we're talking about Flash sort of falling off the wayside, I think it is from an animation perspective, it seems to really be en vogue. But I think in terms of having a Flash player in your browser, it is certainly becoming a little less prevalent. But of course, you can export from Flash into any more standard video format that you want and still keep your stuff, you know, available to people who want to watch it.
There's even animation houses out there that are strictly Flash.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
one of my favorite web cartoons, Homestar Runner, which had been on hiatus for many years. It's come back here and there over the last couple of years. It's Flash based, and gosh, it's just amazing what you can do and what you can express using software, isn't it?
Yeah, Homestar Runner though, is that from Strong Bad?
It is.
Oh, it's the same one.
Okay. That's right. Check out my email. Check out my email.
Wonderful. I can't sound manly. I've tried too many times. I can't do it. I suppose that's a good thing. Or else I would try to sound like Strong Bad too.
That makes me sad on the inside.
Oh, Strong Sad.
Sorry about that. But anyway, those are such fun cartoons, and it's neat that you're using very similar tools to make your own animations. So what would you say is the most ambitious animation project that you've worked on?
White Snake Chronicles, Episode Zero, Retribution.
Oh, wow. And what was the length and the scope of the animation?
It was at least 4 minutes long.
Wow.
Yeah, that was officially my first huge jump into doing animation like that by hand, frame by frame.
Wow.
Yeah, back when I used the wrong program for it.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is so, well, cool.
It's crazy. Yes. I never should have done it, but yeah.
I know crazy projects very well. That seems to be the only thing I ever do anymore is crazy projects. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
What would you say is your approach to animation now, and how has it changed, and how long would it take you to work out like a 4 minute animation now?
Oh goodness. I don't want to think about that kind of length right now. Doing short things is okay.
Yeah. Did you storyboard that 4 minute epic, or did you just jump right in? Okay. You storyboarded and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have not watched this animation that you've described. Does it have sound, musical accompaniment, the whole works?
Yes.
Oh, wow. How did you compose or compile the audio or record the audio?
It was someone else.
Okay.
People were hired to do that. I just did the character art and the animation.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah.
Do people really get what it takes to produce good art, static or animated?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, it takes a lot more work than anyone can possibly fathom unless they've done it themselves. Would you agree?
Yes, I strongly agree with that. Even if it looks like two lines in a squiggle, though I hate to use that comparison because I got mad at the same thing when I would see it in a museum. Like, why is this getting $1 million and something else that I worked hard on doesn't even get looked at?
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Opportunity, right place, right time. I don't know.
Yeah. And then people who understand the value of such things. I'm not one of those people, I have to tell you. the two lines in the squiggle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I certainly see the value in what you produce. This is some really cool stuff.
Thank you. Oh, the two lines in the squiggle still make me upset, but I get it now.
So before you did this special piece for us that we're going to call Chibi's Celebration of Voltron,
yes.
What was your favorite Voltron piece that you had done before this?
It's got to be that animation I did with Shiro and Keith transforming magically. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How long was that?
It was 50-some seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thank you message at the end extended it to a minute plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where is this available now?
YouTube.
On YouTube?
Yeah, and a couple other places like Newgrounds and Nico Nico.
All right, so do you have your own YouTube channel?
Yes.
Okay, so where can people go to see that?
Are you up for us sharing a link to it on our podcast page?
We could share it.
Oh, okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, any links you want us to share, we'd be happy to share to your DeviantArt page or any of those resources.
Your Tumblr page or your Twitter page, anything.
Okay, wow. That's definitely some exposure. Hey.
we are spotlighting you, so, we're going to go all out, right?
Yeah.
That's right. We want people to see your art and give you the proper spotlight.
I'm looking at a piece right now on your DeviantArt page, and it is a picture of, it's an animation. It's a looped animation. It's a picture of Shiro and Keith looking each other in the eyes, very close to one another.
Oh, no!
What?
That one is so old. Even though I have it as my Tumblr header. Oh, my goodness, that one. I'm embarrassed now.
Well, no, I don't think you need to be embarrassed. I mean, I think it looks great. I mean, you've got the leaves blowing across the image and their hair is moving in the wind and it's neat. I mean, it's a good composition. I like it.
Thank you.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean, okay, you've got maybe an old link on there or something. Big whoop. It looks great.
There's also another one that you sent with the email that you gave us. And that has the whole cast standing there with Zarkon and Hagar in the background.
Yeah.
So you've got Lance and Hunk on the left, Buddy Buddies, and then Allura and Karan in the middle, and then Pidge, and then Keith, and then Shiro. Mm-hmm. All right, what was your inspiration for doing this one?
I wanted to wow you guys.
Well, you did. Wow.
Yeah.
I wanted your attention.
Okay.
And I wanted to just do something really awesome for V-tron. Or should I just call it Voltron? I call it V-tron. But yeah, and I wanted to put in Zarkon for Neil, because he's great. He's sunshine.
He really is.
Yes.
We're looking forward to having him back on the podcast later to review a future episode with us.
Spaceball.
Yes, Spaceball. This is going to be a lot of fun. He's been on twice, and it's been just an absolute blast to have him. And Mark, you've met him multiple times now too, right?
Yes. He's a busy guy, obviously.
He is.
He's got a lot going on and everything, but he has enough time for the fans when he's out with the fans, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been to not just the big conventions, but some small ones as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he gets out there, he does it all. You know, he does his character voices. He'll take pictures with you. He'll even walk in on a couple of other people's pictures and sort of do a photo bomb and then say, oh, by the way, you just had your picture taken with Zarkon.
That's incredible. Wonderful.
And then people get surprised when they hear he actually did the voice of Zarkon. So, yep, he's great.
Greatness, man.
Yeah.
I want to meet him too.
Yeah, I would too. You know, it was funny. We were at WonderCon and he was attending the panel. Apparently, I couldn't get in the door.
Right.
But he was there, and so you got to see him again, right, Mark?
Yeah, well, I said, I thought you said you weren't going to be here. And he said, well, kind of the last minute kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, they got me in here. So,
yeah. So I hope to run across him at some point in the future. But he's just a hoot to talk with.
Yep.
And so the composition of this piece that we're looking at here, how did you decide on the composition? You know, they're all standing together. There's a space background. I see the Castle of Lions in the center. How did you come up with that basic composition of the background, the layout of all that, the different elements?
Well, mainly for the castle itself, I wanted it to relate to the characters in the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured what better thing to use than the castle?
It's a great visual anchor, and I love that it's subtle. I mean, when I first looked at the image, I didn't even notice it at first. I saw all the characters because, you know, the foreground characters really pop. They're in vivid color, and the shading is great. You got the shadows and all that. And then, of course, you notice the villains in the background. They have this kind of a ghostly appearance. And then the castle, I saw it and went, wow, that's so cool.
Oh, that's cute.
No, the picture is awesome. I was going to say, no, the picture is cute, but no, it's so amazing. I love it.
And did you actually have a title for that one?
Yes, I did.
What's that one called?
Welcome to Voltron.
All right. Cool.
It's very nice. So based on, you know, I see in your description, you're talking about hints of Hans and She.
Oh my goodness.
And in the image that I described before, I believe it was called Into Your Eyes, I think it is.
With Shiro and Keith, yeah.
Yeah. So are you into the whole shipping thing?
Of course I am.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Yes, thank you. Immensely, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too, but you know, I wanted to hear it from your mouth, not mine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite ships?
She's number one, hands down. I really like Ulaz and Shiro. I'm liking Lotor and Lance, even though nothing has happened yet that we've seen. And Zarkon and Alphor.
Really? So that's a new one on me. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of an outsider when it comes to shipping. My brain can't quite grasp it. I have infinite respect for the people who love shipping in all of its forms, you know, but it's something that I personally haven't really gotten into myself, but I haven't heard of the whole Zarkon Alphor thing. What's that all about?
That was mostly from my best friend making a comment about how Zarkon wants to know what happened with Alphor. Why did he turn on him? And Alphor hadn't been returning his calls, and so that's why he blew up Althea.
Wow!
He couldn't get through. Alphor was giving him the cold shoulder, and he was upset.
That's funny. So what would you call that? Would it be, you know, because everybody keeps smushing the different people's names together to make these up. Would it be like Zarfor or Alfcon or?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Alfcon, you know, that's already happened. Okay. There was a character from a show called Alf.
Oh no.
And all the people that loved that show came together for a convention and they called it Alfcon.
Wow, I didn't know that. I liked Alf too. Whoops, that says my age.
Well,
yeah, just don't bring your cat to that convention.
Or you'll eat it.
The cat might not survive.
Yeah, I watched Alf as well, and my favorite bit was during one of the bumpers where he'd say, "Before you get up for that final snack, I want you to know I've got your cat." Ha! Oh, it was such a stupid show, but we all watched it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, if you do Alfcon, people might confuse it for something else.
Okay, Zarfor it is.
Yeah, Zarfor.
You heard it here, Voltron fans. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They definitely had to have been best friends at one point.
I think they were.
Yeah, there's definitely something there.
You know, he was the original Black Paladin, so, you know, there had to be something there of a close nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shiro had that bonding experience with Black Lion, and they, you know, Black showed Shiro seemingly where Black Lion was created. There was the imagery of Alphor and Zarkon standing together. I mean, if they weren't buddy buddies, they were at least very solid allies, I would think, at that point.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
I think Zarkon may have been just a little bit, what do you call it when somebody just gets consumed by power, you know?
Possibly misguided or misinformed, confused,
led astray.
a Sith. Oh, I'm not a Star Warsian, but I do get the reference.
All right.
But I just think that being the Black Paladin and being able to form Voltron and all that kind of stuff may have been something that just, I don't know, it consumed him and it became his, you know, his thing to have this, the most powerful weapon in the universe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what really drove him to what he became, you know, the one that took over the universe.
So, you know, in that vein, you know, the power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, all that good stuff. And mm-hmm. Let's assume that the power of Voltron sort of corrupted him. What are your thoughts about what happened with Shiro? Is it possible that he himself, and we don't know what's going to happen in season 3, he may emerge from this and everything's hunky-dory back to normal, but what do you think happened to Shiro? And do you think maybe he got burned a bit by Voltron's power? What are your thoughts about Shiro?
I actually think about that in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. I've wondered, maybe he's still stuck in the astral plane somewhere, or maybe he fell into an alternate reality of some sort, or maybe his body is wherever Zarkon is, and his spirit is in the astral plane.
Mm.
I would think maybe he's connected to Zarkon now in some way. So as long as Zarkon stays down, maybe he's down too.
Wow.
Interesting. You know, I recently, just last weekend, watched the series premiere of a show called Class. It's a BBC show, a spinoff of Doctor Who. And in that very first episode, one of the lead characters had this traumatic incident with a villain character, and they both wound up sharing the same physical heart. I mean, they're two separate bodies, but this one heart has two physical manifestations, one in each of them.
Well, that's what happened in Dragonheart too.
Yeah. So I wonder, could there be something like this between Zarkon and Shiro? I mean, based on what you've said, that's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, that might pave the way for Dark Shiro to show up again.
Yeah. I'm sensing some pretty interesting new art from you in the near future. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, that was good too.
We got a couple of Vincent Prices with us.
I cannot do a Vincent Price. I wish I could.
I'm just thinking of his laugh at the end of Thriller. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, yes. Nice. Oh, what a video too. I love that music video. Yeah. Anyway.
So what was one of your favorite moments from season 2?
Favorite and wow, that's pretty angsty.
I like to hear both.
Anything, yeah.
Well, Space Mall was pretty awesome, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked how there was all this silly stuff going on with the rest of the cast while Shiro was doing something really serious, bonding with his lion, and Laura's with the mice. I really like how that's written out when that happens.
Yeah. What's the other favorite? The heavy-hearted one, I guess.
Episode 8.
The Blade of Marmora?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that episode so much to this day. I'm only a little embarrassed to admit that. But yeah, I watch Voltron a lot.
Okay.
I never used to do that before. Honestly, really. This show really has a hold on me. And I just can't believe it, that it really changed my life. And I wasn't expecting it at all. I wasn't looking for that. I mean, I started watching for Keith and Shiro to see their interactions. They drew me to it the most.
It's got a kind of a hold on me, too, because when I'd go to bed at night, one of the things that I always used to turn on just to watch something before I fall asleep was Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I would turn on Adult Swim, and I'd probably be watching either Family Guy or American Dad or Robot Chicken.
Oh, mm-hmm. Robot Chicken. Love Robot Chicken.
Right. Right. So any of those ones could have been on right around the time I was, you know, hitting the hay. And now it's turned into watching Netflix and specifically Voltron.
Cool.
And I'll just go back and watch a Voltron episode now, you know, before hitting the hay.
That is great word. Mm. Feel that. that makes me so happy.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury. Number one, we don't have a TV in the bedroom. And number two, my wife is a light sleeper. I don't think that would work.
Oh, no, definitely but, not.
Yeah, but that's really cool. It's cool that the show has reached so many people in so many different ways. I'm kind of addicted to it, too. Can you tell?
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, the whole podcast might be a testament to that. What do you think?
Well, the great thing is having Voltron fans like you, Mel.
Whoop. Represent.
And Voltron fan artists like you as well.
Whoop. Yeah.
When something comes out that affects the fandom, it's amazing how many fan artists jump on that and just... Mm-hmm. They just start drawing and they start doing their stuff. And we get some really cool things that come out of it. And, I mean, just recently we had Burger King. You know, the toys are out at Burger King and stuff like that. And
I'm still salty about that. I couldn't get one. Yeah, I went there, splurged on a meal for a kid's meal. They had Voltron right there on the panel. But they didn't have any Voltron toys. They just opened some dinosaur ones.
Oh.
I'm so disappointed.
Oh, well, you gotta tell them, hey, do you have the Voltron toys?
Yeah,
and
I did.
And then make sure that they give you the Voltron toys. If they don't have them, tell them you'll be back when they have them.
Okay, I got a short story about this. Very short, I promise. I was at the Charlotte, North Carolina airport yesterday on the way home. It was a very long flight from business travel for the day job, and so I stopped at one of the Burger Kings at that airport, thinking, "Hey, I'll pick up a Voltron thing." And the line was crazy. They were so busy, they were backed up. And I asked the person who was, you know, filling the sacks up with the food. I said, "Do you guys have any of the Voltron?" Because I ordered a kids' meal toy, like you've done, and said, "Do you have any of the Voltron toys?" I go, "Oh yeah, sure." And then he just threw in something. I thought, "Okay, that must be Voltron." I walked away because I had to hurry to what I thought was about a flight about to leave before it was delayed by 2 hours. And I tore open the bag, and it was Trolls. Now, you know, I love DreamWorks. They rock the Casbah and all that other stuff, but I'm sorry, Voltron, not Trolls.
Oh my goodness. That's a classic story, man. Oh. I would be enraged.
Well, I think what we've all found out is a very important lesson in franchising, okay? If they've got a huge amount of Trolls stuff still left, they're not going to order the new ones yet. They're going to wait until their current stuff goes out, and then they'll replenish with whatever's the newest thing out there that comes from corporate.
So a little tip to everyone who goes to Charlotte Airport, maybe it's good to drain the Trolls premium so that your next visit will have Voltron stuff. So you know, have it your way. Let's keep picking up all that Troll stuff so that we can get to the good stuff, right? Now Trolls is awesome. Love Trolls. My daughter loves it. But yeah, let's get rid of that stuff and get some Voltron in there.
Some Voltron in there, stat.
Quick shout out to @ImpalaStar on Twitter. When I was at Charlotte Airport, we very nearly saw one another, but her flight left before me, so I did not get a chance to meet. Maybe we'll all meet her in the future. So a quick shout out to you. And on the subject of fans at large, when we were at WonderCon, one of the coolest things to see was the Artist's Alley and how many really talented Voltron fan artists were out there sharing their work with others. Have you ever set up a booth at a con?
No, I have not, but I've wanted to.
Okay. Voltron was very well represented at WonderCon, both in cosplay and fan art, and it was really something to see.
And have you ever been asked to do any commissions?
Oh, yeah, that's what I do.
All right, so what types of commissions have you done, and have any of them been for Voltron?
No, none have been for Voltron, but I've gotten a couple animation ones as of late. Mainly, I'm still working on that comic that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever else comes my way, I'll do it.
Okay.
Whatever the rating is.
Okay.
Do you typically share them digitally with your clients, or do you mail them physical prints of them, or how do you usually do that?
Goodness, it's all digital.
Okay. All digital, baby.
Yeah.
We live in the digital world.
Yes, we do.
See, when Chitoy had made hers, because she still does the traditional style,
mm-hmm.
you know, colored pencils.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. She still does hers on paper, and it comes out amazing because she also delivered us Christmas cards, which was really cool as well.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up taking whatever her original is, and she'll scan it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll send out that as a digital file.
Okay.
So sometimes if the print's a little bit too big for the scanner, then she has to like take separate scans and then sort of meld them together.
Yeah.
So that's a painful process.
No doubt.
Yeah. So it's sort of like doing a panoramic view, and you know, those are pretty well taken care of these days by your cameras.
Right. What are some of the things you'd like to do as an artist that you've not yet had the opportunity to do?
Actually, I'd love to work at Studio Mir.
Oh.
They deserve all of the praise. So I'm giving them a shout out. You rock, Studio Mir.
They do.
So are you going to move to Korea?
If that's what it takes. I don't know a lick of Korean, though, but I mean, I'm willing to just deliver their coffee and their tea while I watch them draw and animate just to learn. How to do it on that kind of scale. Yo, I'm down. I'm ready. Or I could work for DreamWorks doing 3D animation, though I figure I'm able to do it. I know about the keyframing and all that and the rigging.
Mm-hmm. I've dabbled with that myself, and it's quite a skill. You already are familiar with it, but yeah, there's a learning curve involved there, but it's pretty neat what you can do. I mean, it takes, as you know, it's much more than the technology, whether you're doing 2D work, 3D work, static art or animation. It's, you got to have genuine artistic oomph. I'm sure you would do quite amazing work in that realm.
Oh, thank you.
Well, one of the recommendations from the people from this show, Voltron Legendary Defender, is just keep drawing, keep doing what you love, and keep putting your stuff out there. You know, sooner or later, when you submit some of your work to, you know, the right people, you might get the right job.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm doing so much right now.
We'll do our little part to help you get your work out there and seen by fellow Voltron fans.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people that already appreciate your work out there.
Well, I haven't heard from the majority of them.
Well, you'll be hearing from them after this podcast.
So yeah, here's an open call to all of our listeners. You know, when you see artwork that you like, you know, from Mel, from Chitoy, from any of the fan artists, please reach out to them and let them know it's something that you enjoy. It's very difficult to create in a vacuum sometimes. And, you know, it takes a little effort to send an email or a tweet or a direct message or whatever. But those 30 seconds, those 2 or 3 minutes that of your time can mean a whole lot to your fellow fans. That it really is great to get feedback from people who enjoy your work. So please do that. I mean, not just with Mel here, although obviously we'd love for her to hear more from the people who enjoy her work. But in general, when you see content that you enjoy, let the creators know that you enjoy it.
And there are some artists out there who don't like their stuff to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to respect that, and you have to not share that. And if there is artists out there that don't mind their stuff being shared, just make sure you credit them for their work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, you guys are so kind. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us here on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. Is there anything that you'd like to ask us about anything?
How would one go about getting a career in what you do?
Podcasting?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we ever find out, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Because it's not really a career. It's more of a passion. And it's something that we spend a lot of time on. But we also have full-time paying jobs that help support that. And it's still something that, you know, obviously is something that we've found people enjoy. You know, that we're just out here, you know, as Voltron fans, talking to fellow Voltron fans. And at the same time, we're also trying to give them access to things that they wouldn't normally have access to. And that's things like, you know, the interviews that we've had with some of the cast and crew of the show, of actually doing the interviews at places like, yeah, WonderCon, San Diego Comic-Con, and New York Comic-Con. So basically trying to follow these people that make the show. And, you know, wherever they're out there, trying to get out there and see them and share that information with the rest of the fans out there so that they can see this is what's currently going on with your favorite people.
Oh, wow.
The people that make your favorite show. These are the things that are going on with your favorite show, like the Burger King thing, the Puzzle and Dragons, mm-hmm, thing, the New York Toy Fair thing, when we shared everything that was happening at New York Toy Fair. Luckily, we had people there like Sarah and Grant to be able to, you know, give the story to us because we weren't able to attend, mm-hmm, that one. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on out there that Voltron Legendary Defender is going to be a part of. And with all the things that they have, I'm hoping that there's a lot more merchandise coming out soon. But we've already talked about as much of, you know, what's going on with the show as we could. And we're also still doing episode reviews. And, you know, we still have some more interviews that we'd like to be doing. Right.
So this specific podcast, to answer your question, this is a passion for the two of us. This is not a career by any stretch of the imagination for this particular podcast. I'm sure there are others out there that are more career focused, I suppose, but I don't know what they would be. So I would encourage you, if this is something that interests you, and I'd encourage any listener, if podcasting is something that interests you, you know, if it's something you want to do just because you would enjoy doing it, then absolutely go for it. If it's something you want to pursue as a career, you may need to reach out to people who are associated with the larger podcasts and maybe get some insight from them. If we had that insight, we would certainly share it with you.
Well, there's also the fact that podcasts can generally become part of bigger podcast networks, and those podcast networks are usually the ones that are, you know, paying the money to keep those podcasts going on their network. And those are usually, I guess the revenues usually come from ads that are on those podcasts. And if you've ever noticed, we don't have any ads on our podcast. We'll talk about a lot of the Voltron items, but that's because we love those Voltron items. Nobody's paying us to say these things, you know, about all these different Voltron items. We're not putting ads on this podcast.
By the way, please do all of your Voltron shopping at the Voltron store. That's store.voltron.com. Now, seriously, we are not paid to do that. We just love it.
Wonderful.
And we're not going to sell you Little Debbie's snack cakes, and, you know, we're not going to sell you, you know, Geritol and all these other products out there. And
oh, my goodness. Wow. You went there.
We're not going to have to do the small print types of disclaimers that they have to have on all those drug ads and all that kind of stuff.
Warning, this headache medication may cause your head to spontaneously combust.
Word. They may as well say things like that.
That's right.
We do say warnings like you may hear very loud screaming during these panels at WonderCon or something like that.
Yeah. But seriously, back to you, since this is indeed a fan artist spotlight, we've really enjoyed having you on the podcast, and I am blown away by what I've seen of your work. Kudos to you for doing this as a profession, and we wish you continued success, and we will share links to your sites, any of your social media or web outlets. We will gladly share them on the podcast page.
Okay. Tubular.
Love it.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Gnarly. Well,
so, yeah. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, Mel.
Far out.
All right, so we will be posting all of that on our podcast page when this podcast comes out. So make sure you check out those links to Mel's pages and Twitter account and everything, and then go out there and check those out. You're going to love it. And then, of course, this wonderful piece of art that Mel did for us, and it's the Chibi Celebration of Voltron.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure that we put that out there on our Twitter account and on our Facebook account.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I don't want this to end.
Thanks so much again for coming on. It's been a blast. I love when we do the voice memes and fan spotlights that way. I really enjoy the fan artist spotlights, the two that we've done. But it's just great to reach out and meet so many fellow fans. So thanks for being part of this podcast.
Thank you for having me here. This was a goal that I wanted, and I've reached it. It's amazing. Woo-hoo! Yeah. You know,
all right. Thank you very much, Mel.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, that was a great interview that we had with Mel, also known as That Mako Girl.
Yeah, it was so fun. I think my favorite part of chatting with her, aside from the musing about Homestar Runner, was her old school animation. I mean, doing animation frame by frame, not using any fancy dedicated animation software. tools are amazing things, and you know, you work with the things that they can do, and you work around their restrictions. And I really applaud Mel's ingenuity and creativity to working around the limitations of the software that she had early on with animation. The stuff she's done is amazing and all around, and it's just been, it was so much fun to chat with her.
And how about how she got it all started with Sonic?
Oh, wow. I have to admit, I used to watch the weekday syndicated Sonic cartoon. I think it had Jaleel White, who was Urkel from Family Matters.
Wow, we're going way back.
Yeah, the voice of Sonic, and then Dr. Robotnik, and he had these two dumb sidekicks, Scratch and Grounder. And wow. Oh my gosh, I watched them every morning before going to school. I never played a single game of Sonic the Hedgehog ever to this day, but I love that old cartoon, and it was fun that she was inspired by the game to the point that she did fan art for it.
Well, don't you think it's cool that there's this connection between, you know, cartoons and art and video games and comic books and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, they're all visual media, and it's a natural fit.
Yeah, and I just love every time we get to talk to one of these artists, we find out so much more about them other than what they've been doing, of course, in the Voltron fan spotlight. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I really enjoy any time we get to talk with anyone associated with Voltron, whether, again, as you said, is someone who is a fan like we are, or someone who actually works on the show, just to see the additional dimensions beyond Voltron, and just getting to know people more as people. And it was wonderful to get to know Mel as a person.
Yeah, so we're going to be sharing Mel's information out there for her Twitter account and for her DeviantArt and her Tumblr, so that you guys can check it out. It's really, really good. So, You know, we want to give these Voltron fan artist spotlight people as much exposure as they can get, because they're doing a lot of good for the Voltron fans out there right now.
Absolutely.
So any chance we can get, we're going to share your work, okay? And anybody else who wants to be on the Voltron fan spotlight, we've gotten a couple of emails from people, and we want to, you know, reach out to other people out there. If you want to be on the Voltron fan artist spotlight, you know, send us an email at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll gladly, you know, include you in a future episode.
That would be fun.
Also, we still want to get back to doing the regular Voltron fan spotlight. You know, we had the Voltron voice memes that we were using, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we also want to let people know that if you do a Voltron voice meme, it doesn't have to be necessarily those basic questions that are part of the voice meme. You can, you know, make up your own questions. You can add your own words at the end to say, you know, there's a whole bunch of things you can do. We just really want to find out about you as a Voltron fan.
Yeah, just go freeform. Tell us about yourself.
So if you do a Voltron voice meme, don't feel like you have to stick to the basic questions.
That's right.
So those we will find out about whether or not you did those Voltron voice memes if you share them with us on Twitter, at Let's Voltron on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, Let's Voltron Podcast on Facebook.
Yep.
And we're also on Pinterest and Instagram, Let's Voltron.
Yeah, we are everywhere, all corners of the Defended Universe.
So coming up on our next episode, we loved getting people to get excited about our next guest in the next episode. And who's that going to be, Greg?
Bex Taylor Klaus will be in the next episode.
Yes, Bex Taylor Klaus will be with us in our next episode. So look forward to that, because we had a bunch of fans that sent in questions, and you'll get to hear those questions given to Bex Taylor Klaus herself. We know a lot of fans were looking forward to having Bex on the podcast, and we can't wait to share that with you.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So there's some other things going on that I wanted to mention to the fans.
Yeah.
The collaboration that Voltron Legendary Defender had with Puzzle and Dragons, the video game.
Right.
That ends on May 7th.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. That was fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Flash Form Go or something.
So if you play the game Puzzle and Dragons and you haven't had your chance to get your Voltron characters yet, there's Allura, there's Shiro, there's Keith, there's a bunch of the characters. You fight up against people like Sendak, and you also fight up against Mizax and the second Robeast, and even Hagar and Zarkon.
Oh, wow. Oh, by the way, the second Robeast is named Drazel.
Where did you get that?
The subtitles on Netflix reference Drazel. I think that's where I got that from. Or maybe it was the action figure that they've announced for Wave 2. But the Robeast is called Drazel, which is lizard backward.
They are going to have to, you know, give it a name when the toy comes out in the fall.
Yes, and I think Drazel is the name. I saw it online somewhere. I think it was from a subtitle for the episode Tears of the Balmera, I think it was. But anyway, that's the name, at least what I've seen. So we'll see if that sticks when the toy comes out.
So lizard spelled backwards. Let's see if that happens.
Drazel or Drazil or whatever.
All right, so Puzzle and Dragons ends on May 7th. We still have Burger King kids meal promotion going on.
So which ones do you have, if any, Mark?
I have three of the Voltrons.
I do too. I actually bought six of them, but I gave one to my daughter, who's been on this podcast talking with Kimberly Brooks. I gave two to my nephews who've been on this podcast before, and I've kept the last three. So I have not yet seen Red Lion or Mysax. Have you?
No, not yet. We still have been to some Burger Kings where they're still giving away the Trolls one. So we are hoping that the volume of kids' meals toys runs out of all the old stuff and that Voltron completely takes over and that we get to see all three versions of it.
Yeah, we love Burger King, but, you know, we Voltron fans want to have it our way and have those Voltron premiums. So hopefully people are finding them out there.
Right. Anything going on in the Voltron store right now?
Just lots of great Voltron merchandise. I did notice as we've recorded here, there's a sale on the Voltron Cozy, which is styled after 80s Voltron. And of course, there are many other great items. The Legendary Defender wallet, belt buckles of various kinds, the hats. I mean, you name it, it's there. It's awesome. It's the Voltron store. Check it out.
And I know recently they had in stock the basic figures from the Playmates toys.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't combine, but they are so awesome. I have Black Lion on my desk at work, and I fidget with that thing so often. You squeeze the wings together, and the front paws act like they're doing some kind of a slashing attack. I just think those are underestimated toys. They're a lot of fun.
And we also want to let people know that we still have a contest going on. It's the Voltron Retro Commercial Sweepstakes.
Yes, and my daughter has recorded a segment that I'm going to submit as a sample for people. She's not going to be eligible to win, of course, because she's my daughter, but I need to get that into you so maybe we can post that on the YouTube channel and show people how easy it can be.
And we also wanted to let people know that at our last podcast, we had told everybody how they could get a signed lithograph signed by all eight people who were at the Voltron Legendary Defender panel at WonderCon.
Right.
So if you haven't done so already, this is how you can do it. You can enter by retweeting the tweet where we sent out our initial tweet announcing the podcast was available. And this is our part two podcast where we talk about WonderCon, the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you get to see it, it's also with Das Hazel, which is Nicole.
Right.
Okay, so if you get a chance to go back to our tweets and find that tweet where we announced, you know, that that podcast went live, then you retweet that tweet, you will be entered into the contest.
That sounds so tweet.
And then also, if you're on Facebook instead of Twitter, and you want a chance to get into the running for the signed lithograph, you can share the post that we posted on Facebook for that same podcast episode. So where we talk about Voltron Legendary Defender, the panel at WonderCon, when we announced that post, all you have to do is share that post and then you'll be in the running.
Very cool.
And we can only pick one winner out of all the Facebook shares and out of all the Twitter retweets. We can only pick one winner. We only have one signed lithograph.
Right.
Okay. So good luck, everybody.
Yes, it's a beautiful lithograph with artwork by Joaquin Dos Santos of Keith in his Blade of Marmora garb. And of course, it's autographed, so it's awesome all around.
Right. And oh, I wanted to mention, you going back to the Burger King toys.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you mention on Facebook that you saw some people were painting that?
Yes. So I am an admin as well as a member of the Voltron Collectors Facebook group. This group is not officially affiliated with World Events Productions or DreamWorks or anything like that. It's just a group of fans who collect Voltron stuff. In any event, there are people out there who are customizing their Burger King Voltrons. And by that, I mean the combining five module Voltron robot. People, you know, weren't satisfied with the colors out of the baggies or the decals.
Stickers.
Yeah, the stickers. And they're just going all out decorating these things. And they look so cool. So if you guys have been customizing your Burger King toys or any of the Voltron Legendary Defender toys from Playmates Toys, send us your pictures. I'm especially amazed by what I've seen with the Burger King toy customizations. Send that stuff to us. We will gladly share it in our social media outlets.
Yep. So that's going to do it for us for this week. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. And don't forget, our next episode, our interview with Bex Taylor Klaus.
Woohoo!
We'll see you all next time on...